The following is a lecture entitled Respecting Devotees, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 8th, 2018 in Phoenix, Mauritius.
So I've been asked to speak tonight about respecting senior devotees, but you know what? That's not enough. You have to respect the junior devotees too, and the ones who are on the equal level too. If you only respect senior devotees and you disrespect the junior devotees, you're still committing Vaishnava aparadhas. So we have to learn how to respect seniors, equals, juniors, and even all living entities have to be respected, because the super souls in the heart, even of a little ant. So there's a very nice purport we're going to read tonight, verse and purport. It's kind of long, so what I'll do is I'll read a little bit and talk a little bit, and this way we might finish before midnight. What's the official ending time? 8:30? 9? 8:45? Okay. So I think we can finish in an hour. But anyway, we'll make some good progress. This is text number 5 of Upadeshamrita. We won't do it responsibly to save some time, since you don't have it on the board anyway. Krishnaiti yashagiritang marasandriyeta dikshashti chet panatibhischa bhajantam misham shushrushaya bhajanam vijnanam ananyamanya nandadi shunya hridam ipshita sangalabhya. Translation. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Purport. In order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, that means giving gifts, receiving gifts, giving service, distributing prasadam, receiving prasadam, revealing your mind and opening your heart when others reveal their minds to you. Those are the six loving exchanges. In order to do that, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore advises that we should meet with Vaishnavas in an appropriate way according to their particular status. In this verse, he tells us how to deal with three types of devotees: Kanishta Adhikari, Majjama Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. The Kanishta Adhikari is a neophyte who has received the Harinam initiation from the spiritual master and is trying to chant the holy name of Krishna. One should respect such person within his mind as a Kanishta Vaishnava. A Majjama Adhikari has received spiritual initiation from the spiritual master and has been fully engaged by him in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. It mentions deity worship, so that means second initiation. The Majjama Adhikari should be considered to be situated midway in devotional service. The Uttam Adhikari, or highest devotee, is one who is very advanced in devotional service. An Uttam Adhikari is not interested in blaspheming others. His heart is completely clean, and he has attained the realized state of unalloyed Krishna consciousness. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, the association and service of such a Mahabhagavat, or perfect Vaishnava, our association and service of such a Vaishnava are most desirable. One should not remain a Kanishta Adhikari, one who is situated on the lowest platform of devotional service and interested only in worshipping the deity in the temple. In other words, you should come to the mood of being a preacher, not just coming, come to for the arti, but you should be in the mood of what can we do to save the fallen souls. You see, Kanishta doesn't think about giving Krishna to anyone. He just comes to get the benefit of Krishna for himself. And that's a good beginning. But the Majjam, now he thinks the people of this world are suffering. I must spread Krishna consciousness. That means on a higher level, you see. So one should not remain a Kanishta Adhikari, one who is situated on the lowest platform and is interested only in worshipping the deity in the temple. Such a devotee is described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 11.247, Acharyam eva hariye pujamya shadaye hate natat bhakshita chanyeshu sabhakta prakita smritaha. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave towards devotees or people in general is called a prakrita bhakta or kanishta adhikari. Even he doesn't know how to properly associate with devotees, he just knows the deity. He bowed down to the deity and nobody else. You see, that's the mood of a Kanishta, you see. To the deity I bow down, but not to these devotees. Only to the deity will I bow down. You see, that's not a very advanced position. One therefore has to raise himself from the position of Kanishta Adhikari to the platform of Majjhima Adhikari. The Majjhima Adhikari is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.46 in this way, Ishvare tad anishdeshu balisheshu dvishatsu cha prema maitre kripopaksha yakaroti samajjama. The Majjhima Adhikari is a devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the highest object of love, makes friends with the Lord's devotees, is merciful to the ignorant, and avoids those who are envious by nature. Now this is a platform very important for all of us to come to, you see. They worship Krishna, you see. They're very eager to come to the temple and worship Krishna. And when they go to the temple, they like to make friends with the devotees, you see. They like to have friendships with devotees, very important thing. And they're very interested to give Krishna to the people who are not Krishna conscious. They like to invite people to come to the temple, newcomers, you see. They like to preach. They want to help the people who are suffering without Krishna consciousness by inviting, giving him prasadam, giving an invitation to the temple, giving him a book, in this way. And those who are those who are blasphemous say that the Krishna consciousness is nonsense, there is no God. You see, they avoid association with the demoniac people. They don't want to get poisoned by that bad association. The next paragraph. This is the way to cultivate devotional service properly. Therefore, in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami is advised how to treat various devotees. This is how we can make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness by learning how to associate properly with different types of devotees. So we should learn carefully from this. In the Krishna consciousness movement, let's see if I got diverted by that screaming here. Let's see. Okay. This is the way to cultivate devotional service properly. Therefore, in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has advised us how to treat various devotees. We can see from practical experience that there are different types of Vaishnavas. The Prakrita Sahajas generally chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, yet they are attached to women, money, and intoxication. That's not within ISKCON. This is in India. You have a class. They have illicit sex, but they like kirtan. They're called Prakrita Sahajas. They're not part of ISKCON. But you will find people like that, like in Vrindavan. Although such persons may chant the holy name of the Lord, they are not properly purified. Such people should be respected within one's mind, but their association should be avoided. Those who are innocent but simply carried away by bad association should be shown favor if they are eager to receive proper instructions from pure devotees. So that's the general population, you see, they're innocent. So we should be very kind to them. If they're willing to hear and learn from us, then we should go the extra mile to help those people get connected with Krishna. Just think how you came to Krishna consciousness. Somebody may have reached out to you, you see. It all began with one person reaching out to those youth in New York City, Prabhupada, you see. He reached out to those youth. And then those youth reached out to others, and now we have thousands of people. Just because one person decided to reach out and give Krishna to someone else, you see. So in this way of reaching out and giving Krishna, that's how this movement is growing more and more all over the world. So let's keep doing that. That's a very good thing that Prabhupada says we should do, you see. We should show favor to the non-devotees if they're eager to hear and learn. We should show very special kindness and favor to them, you see. But those neophyte devotees who are actually initiated with a bona fide spiritual master and seriously engaged in carrying out the orders of the spiritual master should be offered a respectful obeisance. That's why we pray. Vanchakopatarubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha patitanang bhavanebhya vaishnavebhya namo namaha. We bow down to those persons who have taken initiation and are seriously trying to serve the orders of the spiritual master. They are worshipable for us, you see. Not just on the lips, but in the heart, we have to feel that way. That anybody who's taken initiation and is serving the order of the spiritual master, they are worshipable. That mood we have to have is a very important mood. That will strengthen us and help us to progress in Krishna consciousness. In this Krishna consciousness movement, a chance is given to everyone without discrimination of caste, creed, or color. Everyone is invited to join this movement, sit with us, take prasad, and hear about Krishna. When we see that someone is actually interested in Krishna consciousness and wants to be initiated, we accept him as a disciple for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. When a neophyte devotee is actually initiated and engaged in devotional service by the orders of the spiritual master, he should immediately be accepted as a bona fide Vaishnava and offered obeisance that should be offered unto him. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulated principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads and always thinking how to expand this Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an uttam adhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. That's a very nice definition. That's how any one of us could become an uttam adhikari, you see. You can achieve the highest level of Krishna consciousness, and here's how you do it. You see, it doesn't matter, man, woman, child, doesn't matter. Uttam adhikari is available for any one of us can become an uttam adhikari, and here's how you do it. Let's read it again. It's very important. You seriously engage in the service of Krishna. You chant your prescribed number of rounds every day, at least 16, you see. And you follow all the regulated principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. If you're a brahmachari, no sex. If you're a house owner, you only have sex. You want to make your wife pregnant. You don't have sex for fun. For the house owner, the standard is once in a month, after 4 to 6 days after the lady's menstrual cycle, the husband and wife both chant 50 rounds. And they can, once in a month, they try to have a child. Other than that, they are brahmacharis, you see. They are called grihastha brahmachari, you see. So if one is strictly following these rules and regulations, just like in my married life, we never even had sex. We were complete brahmacharis. Because they didn't want to have any kids. Actually, my wife and I, we have more kids by preaching. I have 300 initiated disciples, so I have 300. We have 300 kids by preaching. We never had sex. My wife never had sex, you see. Our sex life is preaching. That's our sex life. Preach, preach, preach to the world, you see. So, but if you want to have children, that's beautiful. Krishna says that sex is spiritual. So you chant 50 rounds of japa, 4 to 6 days after the lady's menstrual cycle, and then you can have sex once in a month. Anything else is fall down from the regulated principles. So if you can follow these regulated principles and always think how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement, then we accept you as an uttam adhikari. The highest level devotee, you see. And that's available for everyone. Any man, woman, child, doesn't matter. Every one of us can become uttam adhikari. We simply have to do what Prabhupada said. That's all you have to do. Follow the principles, chant your rounds, and always think how to spread this movement. Then you're an uttam adhikari. And we will become very eager to get your association, you see, because by associating with you, we will get the blessings of Krishna. The blessings of all the great acharyas come through these uttam adhikaris, you see. The process by which a devotee becomes attached to Krishna is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Ansha Lila 401.92. Dikshakale bhaktakare atma samarpana sekale Krishna tare kare atma sama. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as he himself. Wow! Can you imagine that? When you take initiation and you fully surrender to Krishna, Krishna accepts you to be as good as Krishna himself. Wow! He accepts you to be as good as God. That's how powerful it is to become initiated and take your vows very seriously. Diksha, or spiritual initiation, is explained in the Bhakti Sandarbha 868 by Srila Jiva Goswami. Divyam ganam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sankshayam tasman dikshayati saprakta deshikash tatvakovida. By diksha, one gradually becomes disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. So that's the real meaning of initiation. How many devotees here initiated? Raise your hand if you're initiated. Okay, we got a lot of initiates, some are not. But now you should know what your initiation means. Initiation means that you gradually become more and more, interested in spiritual life and more disinterested in material life. It's a gradual transition. I mean, it's not that immediately become a pure devotee and you see Krishna face to face. It's a gradual transition. In the beginning, you're 1% spiritually inclined and 99% materially inclined. And you know you want to advance, so you take initiation. Then you go to 2% spiritual, 98% material. Then you go to 3% spiritual. And this way, you see how it works? All of us at a certain stage, all of us who have taken initiation at a certain stage, it might be 50-50, it might be 40-60, it could be 30-70. But anybody who's taken initiation and is following this process seriously is gradually progressing on that scale. And finally, when you get to zero material and 100% spiritual, then Krishna becomes personally revealed to you, face to face, eye to eye. Papa told me. So this is what it means to be initiated. Now you have to make that progress. You see, every day, let me at least make, 0.0% progress at least every day, you see. Today I'm going to be a little more spiritual than I was yesterday, right? If every day, it is possible to become a pure devotee immediately. Katvanga Maharaj did it, but most of us are not on that level like Katvanga Maharaj. You know the story of Katvanga Maharaj? He was a powerful king on the earth, you see. Now the demigods, sometimes they're attacked by the demons. The demons overrun the heavenly planets and the demigods were in great difficulty. Even though the demigods are powerful fighters, they could not fight off the demons and they were in great difficulty. They lost their kingdom. But there was a powerful kshatriya on the earth, Maharaj Katvanga. So they said, Maharaj Katvanga, you please come and lead this fight against the demons. He came and he fought against the demons and he defeated them. He was so powerful, he defeated the demons. And the demigods got their kingdom back. And they said, whatever you want, we will give you. Whatever boon you want, we will give you. He was a very intelligent king. Because he knew that the purpose of life is to become self-realized. And you have to do that before death. So he said, just tell me when I'm going to die. And they said, oh, your death is just now coming. He said, thank you very much. He surrendered to Krishna and became a pure devotee immediately, you see. So maybe we're not on the level of Katvanga Maharaj. We can immediately become a pure devotee. But if you can at least advance a little bit every day, you see, even 0.001% every day, even a little bit of advancement every day, you will achieve the goal. And here's the beauty of the process. The more you advance, the faster you advance. In the beginning, it's really slow, you see. But as you gradually advance little by little, it speeds up naturally. It speeds up naturally. So won't be discouraged if you're feeling you're advancing too slow. Just keep doing, even your slow pace is okay. Just keep going at your slow pace and it will pick up in due course of time. And you'll find you're on the interstate, zooming along at 100 miles an hour, the bhakti interstate is... Someday, you see, that'll come to you. You'll feel you're on that level. You come to that level. Okay. Now Prabhupada gives some practical experience of Europe and America. We have seen practical examples of this, especially in Europe and America. Many students who come to us from rich and respectable families quickly lose all interest in material enjoyment and become very eager to enter into spiritual life. Although they come from very wealthy families, many of them, even you know the Ford Motor Company? The Ford fortune is one of the most biggest fortunes in the world. So the great-grandson of Henry Ford became a devotee. A very good example. He had access to millions of dollars, but he became a devotee of Krishna. So then it became Ambarish Prabhu. And now he is heading up the whole Mayapur development, you see. But he surrendered to Prabhupada, you see. So it's a nice example of this. Although they come from very wealthy families, many of them accept living conditions that are not very comfortable, sleeping on the floor of the brahmachari ashram, for example, you see. Indeed, for Krishna's sake, they are prepared to accept any living condition as long as they can live in the temple and associate with the devotees. When one becomes so disinterested in material enjoyment, he becomes fit for initiation by the spiritual master for the advancement of his spiritual life. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.13 prescribes tapasa brahmacharena shamena chattamena cha. When a person is serious about accepting diksha, he must be prepared to practice austerity, celibacy, and control of the mind and body. If one is so prepared and is desirous of achieving spiritual enlightenment, divyam jnanam, he is fit for being initiated. Divya jnanam is technically called tatvijnana, or knowledge about the Supreme. Tatvijnanartam sugarumeva bhagatschat, Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12. When one is interested in the transcendental subject matter of the Absolute Truth, he should be initiated. Such a person should approach a spiritual master in order to take diksha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21 also prescribes tasman gurum prapadyeta jagashu shreya uttamam. When one is actually interested in the transcendental science of the Absolute Truth, he should approach a spiritual master. Now, in the beginning, I was a little hesitant due to false pride. But I just thought, well, I'll do this on my own. I won't become a disciple. But then I realized that I was cheating myself. I realized these devotees are tasting nectar that I'm not. When you give yourself to the spiritual master, you enter a new dimension. You see, you enter, actually, when you give your heart to your guru, you enter the spiritual world. That's about it. Even though you may be physically situated in Mauritius, which is not really that delicious. When you surrender to Guru, you now enter the spiritual world. Within your heart, you're in the spiritual world, backed up tightly with your Guru Maharaj, you see. Your Guru Maharaj is living in the spiritual world at every minute, and when you take diksha, you're packed up tightly with him in the spiritual world. So it's pretty interesting, it's pretty mystical. And the only way to find out what it's like is to do it. I did it, and it worked. My whole life changed as soon as I got initiated, you see. So anyway, one should not accept a spiritual master without following his instructions. That's a really important one. Well, I'll get initiated because, you know, I have a spiritual name and I can tell people my spiritual name, but I'm not going to follow the principles, you know. I'm not going to give up having illicit sex with my wife. I mean, how could I give that up, you know? And but I'm initiated. But Prabhupada says, don't do that. One should not accept a spiritual master without following his instructions. Nor should one accept a spiritual master just to make a fashionable show of a spiritual life. One must be jigyasu, very much inquisitive to learn from the bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada showed his own example, you see. A very good point from Prabhupada. You see. Pharmaceutical businessman. Actually, he had a wholesale, a retail and a wholesale business. It was a very intense business. Can you imagine running a store and a wholesale business at the same time? Prayag Pharmacy is also a wholesale business, you see. So he was very tied up. But he But as a youth, he had met Bhaktisiddhanta, and he always remembered, I have met such a great saintly spiritual master. He could never forget. He was always remembering, constantly remembering that wonderful spiritual master he met when he was a youth. You see? But then there was an occasion, you know, the Vrindavan Parikrama. The Gaudiya Math was having this Parikrama. They would go to different places, camp out, you know, in one place, and they'd be, and they moved to a different place all over Vraj. So Prabhupada, at that time, he was named Abhay Charan Day, pharmaceutical businessman. He went there to hear Guru Maharaj. Now, in the evening, you see, you could go for the lecture or you could go for darshan, because there are many darshans happening in all the temples. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he spoke in very, very erudite English. The materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who is ever inviting. In this way, he talked in very big English. And these Bengali villagers, they couldn't understand what Guru Maharaj was talking about. They just go for darshan, you see. But Prabhupada would go. He said, I would understand, or I would not understand, but I would go on hearing, and Guru Maharaj marked me. Because only a few sannyasis were going. And one pharmaceutical businessman from Prayag, he would go, Abhay Charan Day. So Prabhupada said, so Guru Maharaj marked me, the others go away, but this boy hears. So I will accept him as my disciple, because he hears. So this is the qualification. You must be very eager to hear, you see. If you're very eager to hear, that is your qualification to become a pure devotee of Krishna. So, as one must be very jigyasu, very much inquisitive to learn from the bona fide spiritual master. The inquiries one makes should strictly pertain to transcendental science. Jigyasu shaya uttamam. Not like, you know, that song I always sing, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You don't go to Guru for that, you see. Guruji, I have a toothache. Can you bless me? You see what I'm saying? This is what in India is very common. Guruji, I need a new job. Can you please bless me? I got fired. Can you bless me with a new job? You see, this is about the common thing in India and with Hindus. Don't approach Guru for some material purpose. You're an idiot if you do so. Krishna can immediately give you whatever you need for your material needs, you see. You don't have to ask the Guru for that. You just ask the Guru, how, Guru Maharaj, can I fully surrender unto you? Because that's how then you become perfect and everything in your life becomes perfect. So the word uttamam refers to that which is above material knowledge. Tama means the darkness of the material world, and ut means transcendental. Generally, people are very interested in inquiring about mundane subject matters, but one has lost such interest and is simply interested in transcendental subject matters, he is quite fit for being initiated. When one is actually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master and when he seriously engages in the service of the Lord, he should be accepted as a Majjham Adhikari. So we have to be Majjham Adhikaris right now, because we're not Uttamas yet. We're not always thinking how to save the world, are we? At every minute? No. So at least we have to be good Majjhams, you see. And then we can gradually become Uttam from that position. The chanting of the holy names of Krishna is so sublime that if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra offenselessly, carefully avoiding the 10 offenses, he can certainly be gradually elevated to the point of understanding there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. One who has reached such an understanding should be very much respected by neophyte devotees. One should know for certain that without chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one cannot be a proper candidate for advancement in Krishna consciousness. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 22:69, it is said, Yahara Kamala Shraddha Se Kanishchitana krame krame tena bhaktahai vayuttama. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte. But by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee, uttam. So the beginning, you know, our faith is soft. It's not that strong in the beginning, you see. It's kind of shaky in the beginning. But as you progress, your faith becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and that day will come, you become uttamadhikari, you see. Everyone begins his devotional life in the neophyte stage. But if one properly finishes chanting the prescribed number of rounds of Harinam, that's 16 at least, you see, he is elevated step by step to the highest platform, Uttam Adhikari. Wow. Prabhupada, do you hear what Prabhupada just said? If you'll chant your 16 rounds every day without fail, you will gradually become an Uttam Adhikari. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? You just do those 16 rounds every day without fail, and gradually you will become Uttam Adhikari. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. Wow. Actually, you know, in the beginning, Prabhupada told the boys to chant 64 rounds. They said, Swamiji, we can't do that. He said, okay, 32. He said, Swamiji, Prabhupada said, okay, 16. That was a concession from Prabhupada, you see. And actually, with the modern day schedules, people do work 10, 12 hours a day. They have a 2-hour commute. I mean, you know, 16 is tough for even some people, but you have to do your 16, even if you have to give up sleeping and eating. You have to do your 16. You see. That's the minimum. According to his calculation, practically every one of us has fallen, but because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. When Srila Satyaraj Khan, a great devotee of the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asked the Lord how a Vaishnava could be recognized, and the Lord replied, Prabhukahe yanyamukhe shunige kabara Krishna namase puja shishta sabakara. If one hears a person say even once the word Krishna, that person should be accepted as the best man out of the common group. CC Majja 15106. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Atta eva yannamukhe eka Krishna nama Seta Vaishnava Kari Hatana Samana. One who is interested in chanting the holy name of Krishna, or who by practice likes to chant Krishna's names, should be accepted as a Vaishnava and offered respects as such, at least within one's mind. CC Majja 15.111. One of our friends, an English musician, you know who Prabhupada's talking about now? George Harrison, the Beatle. One of our friends, a famous English musician, has become attracted to chanting the holy names of the Lord. And even in his records, he has several times mentioned the holy name of Krishna. That song, My Sweet Lord, it's a big million seller, you see. Prabhupada's referring to that. At home, he offers respects to pictures of Krishna and also to the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. In all regards, he has a very high estimation for Krishna's name and Krishna's activities. Therefore, we offer respects to him without reservation. Sriman George Harrison. So we are actually seeing that this gentleman is advancing gradually in Krishna consciousness. Such a person should always be shown respect. The conclusion is that anyone who is trying to advance in Krishna consciousness by regularly chanting the holy name should always be respected by Vaishnavas. On the other hand, we witness that some of our contemporaries who are supposed to be great preachers have gradually fallen into the material conception of life because they have failed to chant the holy name of the Lord. He's probably talking about some God brothers. While giving instructions to Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya divided devotional service into three categories. Shastra yukti nahi janni dinda shaddavam Majamma adhikari se mahabhagyavam. A person whose conclusive knowledge of the Shastras is not very strong, but has developed firm faith in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and he was undeterred in the execution of prescribed duties as prescribed devotional service, should be considered a Madhyam Adhikari. Such a person is very fortunate. So here's one difference between the Madhyam and the Uttam, you see. The Madhyam has firm faith, but he doesn't have in terms of logic and argument, he's not fully developed in that department. He may not be able to defeat all opposing arguments from atheists or Mayavadis or like that, you see. His faith is very strong. Then Prabhupada talks that a Madhyam Adhikari is a Shadavan, a staunchly faithful person, and he is actually a candidate for further advancement in devotional service. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2264, it is said, Shraddhavan janahaya bhakta adhikari uttama madhyama kanishta shada anusari. One becomes qualified as a devotee on the elementary platform, the intermediate platform, and the highest platform of devotional service according to the development of his Shraddha faith. That's a very important point. Faith is actually the beginning of this process. So how much faith do you have, you see? Get a little faith, you're Kanishta. If your faith is really strong, you see, then you're a Madhyam. And if you get even further advanced where you can defeat every single argument against Krishna consciousness, then you're an Uttaman. See where we left off here. Yeah. Again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 2262, it is said, Shraddha Shamdi Vishvasa Kabi Shuddha Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Haila Sarva Karma Kritahaya. By rendering transcendental service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This constant firm faith favorable to the discharge of devotional service is called Shraddha. Shraddha, faith in Krishna, is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. Faith means strong faith. The words of Bhagavad Gita are authoritative instructions for faithful men, and whatever Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as it is without interpretation. You see, this is the way Arjuna accepted Bhagavad Gita. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna told Krishna, Sarvam etat svitam manye mam yan mam vadasi keshava. Oh Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. So this is very important. You see. In this process, you have to have very strong faith. And the more you read these books, the more you hear the lectures, your faith increases, increases, increases. The more you chant sincerely your japa, the more you bow down to the deities, the more you circumambulate Tulsi, all these activities makes your faith stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Let's see where we left. This is the correct way of understanding Bhagavad Gita. And this is called Shraddha. It is not that one accepts a portion of the Bhagavad Gita according to his own whimsical interpretations and then rejects another portion. That is not Shraddha. Shraddha means accepting the instructions of Bhagavad Gita in their totality, especially the last instruction, Saradharman Parit Jaja Mamekam Shadanang Vaja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, Bhagavad Gita 18:66. When one becomes completely faithful in regard to this instruction, one strong faith becomes the basis for advancing in spiritual life. When one fully engages in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he gradually realizes his own spiritual identity. Wow, now we're getting to some high-level stuff. Of course, there's two levels of understanding them. The first understanding of spiritual identity is Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. But on the advanced level, you actually remember who you are in Krishna's pastimes. You can't imitate that on the neophyte level. But when you become an absolutely pure devotee, when you reach the higher stages like Asakti and Bhava, you actually realize who you are in Krishna's leelas. We don't jump to it now. That's called Sahajism. I think I'm a gopi. Or I think I'm a gopa. So I will, actually it happened in Mayapur. There was one brahmachari. He was told by some so-called babajis that he was actually, a peacock, yeah. So they saw him in his room, in the brahmachari room there, in the Mayapur. He was going, ooh, 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 ooh. I said, Prabhu, what are you doing? And I'm practicing my rasa. Not like that. That's called sahajism. First, you have to understand you're the eternal servant of Krishna. You have to have a bona fide spiritual master, become totally dedicated to your Guru Maharaj, that following his instructions is my very life and soul. When you fully identify as the devotee of Krishna and as disciple of your Guru Maharaj, totally sold out to whatever he tells you to do, then you're able to progress to the stage of realizing who you are in the spiritual world. Not before that. It's a very high stage when you're a pure bhakti. We can't imitate it now on a neophyte level. But it is there. He gradually realizes his own spiritual identity. Unless one faithfully chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna does not reveal himself, save on hi muke jivado svayameva spadat yadaha. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. We cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by any artificial means. We must engage faithfully in the service of the Lord. Such service begins with the tongue, save on muke jivado, which means that we should always chant the holy names of the Lord and accept Krishna Prasad. We should not chant or accept anything else. When this process is faithfully followed, the Supreme Lord reveals himself to the devotee. And then, like I always say, Prabhupada told me, now you've become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So we have to come to that stage where we can directly see Krishna. You see, then you know you made some advancement. You see, when Krishna reveals himself, then you know now I've become advanced. And until that point, we're neophyte. Doesn't matter if you've been doing this for 50 years. If you're not seeing Krishna, you're still a neophyte. You understand my point? When a person realizes himself to be the eternal servant of Krishna, he loses interest in everything else except for Krishna's service. Always thinking of Krishna, devising means by which to spread the holy name of Krishna, he understands his only business is spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person is to be recognized as Uttamadikari, and his association be immediately accepted according to the six processes, the Dati, Pratigrinati, etc. Indeed, the advanced Uttamadikari Vaishnava devotee should be accepted as a spiritual master. Everything one possesses should be offered to him for his enjoy, that one should deliver whatever he has to the spiritual master. The brahmachari in particular is supposed to beg alms from others and offer them to the spiritual master. However, one should not imitate the behavior in an advanced devotee of Mahabhagavat without being self-realized, for by such imitation one will eventually become degraded. In other words, you want to pose yourself as a Mahabhagavat so you can get disciples, get dakshina, get followers. If one prematurely tries to take that position, Patanti and ho, they fall down, you see. And we've seen many gurus in ISKCON fell down because they prematurely took the position when they weren't really qualified for it yet. You see. So that's a very important warning from Prabhupada. You see, many gurus have fallen down. So we have to be very careful to find a guru who is actually a genuine Mahabhagavat, not someone who's just trying to get some followers. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advises the devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanishta Adhikari, the Majjhima Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari. The devotee should also know his own position and should not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some practical hints to the effect that an Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism. One should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the status of Uttamadikari. A neophyte devotee or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples, but such disciples must be in the same platform, and it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadikari as a spiritual master. In other words, the Majja can accept disciples, but they cannot advance to the Uttama platform under him. You understand? If your guru is a Majjham, you cannot go beyond the Majjham platform. That's what Prabhupada is saying. So when you look for a guru, you need to study the scriptures and see who is actually an Uttam Adhikari Vaishnava. You have to know what a Uttamadi is, and you have to study the spiritual master and see, is this person actually an Uttama? Is he always thinking how to make the world Krishna conscious? He's living it every minute. If it's 24 hours, thinking how to make a spiritual revolution to deliver all the fallen souls of this material world back to home, back to Godhead, is he always in that mood? And if he is, you've got an Uttamadhikari and you can become his disciple. If he's not, then better find another guru, you see. You need a guru who's Uttam, not Majjam. If you want to achieve the perfection, you need an Uttam guru, not a Majjam guru. This is what Prabhupada is saying. So we have 15 minutes left. Try to answer some questions here now. Is it possible for a couple of neophyte devotees who just got married to become grihastha brahmacharis? Sure, why not? In other words, can they actually use sex only for procreation, or are they going to have sex for recreation? You see what I'm saying? Well, if they're really serious about going back to Godhead, and they understand. The thing is, if a householder couple engages in recreational sex, they can't realize they're not their bodies. The man will think, I'm a male and she's a female. You understand? You cannot be Brahman realized, spiritually realized, if you're having illicit sex. You can't do it. You remain on the bodily plane. There's no way you can get off the bodily plane. Well, I'm not this body, but still I want to have sex. That means you think you are your body. You understand? So if you... What's the first thing we learn? I'm not this body. So if you're really convinced of our philosophy, you won't even be interested in sex. Unless you want to have a kid, and then you follow the rules and have a beautiful Krishna conscious child, you see. If you just want to have sex for fun, you haven't even realized you're not your body. What's the question of spiritual advancement? If a devotee chants his 16 rounds daily and doesn't participate in his sankirtan, is his spiritual progress the same? Well, if he's always desiring, if his work situation is so intense, he doesn't have time, but he always desires, just like Prabhupada always desired to preach, but he didn't have time. He said, I waited 35 years to gather the order of my Guru Maharaj. He always desired to do it, but he didn't have the time. If your desire is intense, then you're going to make progress. If you have this burning desire to spread Krishna consciousness, just waiting for that opportunity, when Krishna will bless me, I can get free from all these heavy responsibilities, you see. Then he can make progress, even if he's just chanting his japa and doing his job. How not to let intense suffering disturb our spiritual life by always remembering whatever suffering comes is a special mercy of Krishna to help you get free from the bodily concept of life. And then there's no more suffering. A devotee who's fixed up in Shastra's vision, he sees everything as the best mercy of Krishna. The good things, the bad things, the beautiful things, the ugly things, they're all beautiful. He sees all of them as the mercy of Krishna. Even death is the mercy of Krishna. You see, he sees everything like that. Sometimes we see some Manajis leaving their small children to go to Vrindavan, Dham and Kartik. Where do they leave them? On the street? No, you leave them with somebody else, another falsetto couple, that's all right. Don't leave them on the street, though. It is said that we should choose our association. Please comment. I did it for the last 45 minutes. You need to associate with the persons who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. You give your association to those who are less advanced, and you take association of those who are equally and more advanced. What to do if persons with whom we associate turn out to be politically minded? Well, you can either enlighten them how to get out of their political mindset or not associate with them anymore. Your choice. When a Prabhupada disciple comes to visit us, should we not come and associate with them, or should we come and hear only when our guru comes? Oof. What kind of movement is this? Only It's not the if you only come when your guru comes, you're not a member of ISKCON really, because ISKCON means a society with many gurus and many disciples. If you only come when your guru comes, you're not really a member of ISKCON. I'm sorry to say, you're not even ISKCON devotee. ISKCON devotee means you want to hear from all the Vaishnavas. That's ISKCON devotee. How not to become puffed up as we practice devotional service? It's not a question of not becoming puffed up. We're already puffed up. The question is, how can I become humble? Well, you have to remember, as you know, I'm lower than the straw in the street. I should be more tolerant than a tree. Just remember Lord Chaitanya's order. If we don't chant 64 rounds, then we are fallen. So how can we make spiritual advancement when we are fallen by the mercy of Prabhupada, who gave 16 as concession? By Prabhupada's mercy, even we fallen souls who only chant 16 rounds, we can become pure devotees and go back to Godhead. 16 rounds is the minimum to be chanted. So how many rounds should we chant to reach Uttama devotee? 16 is okay. If you want to chant, you can chant 16 rounds and become an Uttamadikari by Prabhupada's mercy. If you're fully absorbed in spiritualizing this whole universe with your every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. It is said, I have time for a few more questions. I only have three, so I have 8 minutes, and I have four questions, so I can take a few more if anybody has. You can pop them on the table up here. You'd like to add something, Guru Mata? Okay. It is said that respect should be earned and one should not expect others to show respect towards him just because he is a senior devotee. Your comments, please. The senior devotee doesn't want to be respected because he feels he's actually worthy just being spat upon, really. That's what he feels. A senior devotee feels, I'm worthy of being spat upon by everybody. That's my actual position, you see. But for the sake of training others, he will teach them how to show proper respect for their benefit, not that he needs it for himself. It's like Prabhupada taught us how to... When I joined the movement, we didn't have Guru Puja. There was no Guru Puja. Sri Guru Charana Padma. I was in the movement for 2 years and we didn't even have that. Then Prabhupada taught us how to do that, you see, because we didn't know. So the spiritual master doesn't want to be worshipped, but he teaches the disciples to worship him for their benefit. Why don't senior devotees attend the seminars of how to respect senior devotees? Well, I see many senior devotees here today attending the seminar. What are you talking about? To me, many of you look like senior devotees to me. Maybe you're all junior, I don't know, but to me, you all look like senior devotees. Many of you are very, very senior in my mind in advancing Krishna consciousness. And you're attending. So I question how to get more senior devotees to come. That's my advice. What might have been the most probable destination of George Harrison after leaving his body, according to you? Well, I don't really know, but I can't really say. I can only speculate, but, you know, how would I know? But he's definitely has a good position, no doubt about it. A very good position. He said Prabhupada was so pleased with him. He rendered such a nice service. He's definitely in some good shape, no doubt about it. So no more questions now, but that's enough. How can a guru who is a representative of Krishna fall down? He stops representing Krishna. Simple thing. Unless Krishna is present in everyone's heart, why do they not surrender to Krishna? Because Maya is also there. You have your choice. It's like the on switch or the off switch. You have the switch there, which way you want to flip it. How to understand that you have one or another type of faith? But you read this purport, it's very clear. You can judge your own position just by reading this purport. Just read Nectar of Instruction, Verse number 5, purport, you can understand your own position. Very clearly, Prabhupada makes it very clear. The youth likes only kirtan, but do not like to stay or hear philosophy. What to do? Well, you could lock the doors after the kirtan. The thing is, if they only want to hear kirtan, they don't want to hear the philosophy, then they'll become sahajas, you know. They'll have their girlfriends, they'll smoke marijuana, who knows what they, you know what I mean? So you have to somehow be kind to them and say, induce them, come hear this guru speak, you really love it, come on in and hear this guru speak. He'll blow your mind, you'll be in ecstasy with his every word. You know, you got to somehow give him a good sales pitch and get him in. I know in our days, we were the youth. In the beginning, it was only the youth. We were all kids in our 20s. There was no older people. It was only kids in their 20s when I first joined. We were all 20-year-olds in our 20s. I was 23, you know. If somebody is 27, they're like an old man. 27, oh, really old guy, you know, 27. That's how it was in the beginning. We were all the youth. Prabhupada attracted the youth. No older people came. My parents' generation, they were, only the youth came. So I think we can get the youth. You just have to have this. If you have the same mood of Prabhupada, of reaching out and giving Krishna to everyone, Krishna will empower you to get everyone and bring them in. Krishna will empower you to make Mauritius the first Krishna conscious country on this planet. Ki jai. I don't see any enthusiasm. Let's do that again. Krishna can make, if you all have the determination to preach Krishna consciousness with purity, determination, and enthusiasm, you can make this Mauritius the first Krishna conscious country on this planet. Ki jai. That's what I want to hear. Jai. You see? If a devotee leaves his body while being on the Kanishta platform, will he attain the boat of the Lord in this very lifetime? Well, if he fully puts himself in the shelter of Krishna at any position, Kanishta, Majjam, Uttava, it doesn't matter. If you say, Krishna, I belong to you, I'm fully your property, do with me whatever you want. Now take me wherever you want to take me. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Just take me now. I am yours. He'll go back to Godhead. Or he could take birth again as a powerful Vaishnava Acharya. You see? That's also going back to Godhead. Because Prahlad Maharaj went back to Godhead and he attained Vaikuntha Loka. At the same time, he stayed in Sutala Loka to preach. So you can actually be on both worlds simultaneously. That's an interesting example of the Prahlad Maharaj. You can have, as they say, have your cake and eat it too. You can go back to Godhead and also stay here and preach Krishna consciousness at the same time. That's pretty amazing. Now you can be in two places at the same time. But in the spiritual platform, such things are possible, you see. So anyway, our time is up, looks like. We have only about... According to my watch, we have about 40 seconds. And this is my last big... Of course, I'm giving... Say, is my turn for Bhagavatam class in the morning? Or yours, Davey? I forget. Did I have a class this morning? I gave. So tomorrow is Guru Mata's class. Come on. It's her turn, Guru Mataji. Back here. Guru Mataji Ki Jai. Yeah. It's her turn tomorrow. Oh, thank you very much. So there will be a class tomorrow, a farewell class, before we head out to South Africa, and from there to a country called Malaysia, from there to a country called Australia, from there to a country called the United States of America, United States of America, and then from there we go to London, and then we come, and we have a whole schedule. You can look on my... If you want to keep up with my preaching, just go to joincourse.com and you'll get some news from me every day. JOINCOURSE.com. I have an e-course called the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. Just go to joincourse.com. We have people signing up every day from all over the world. Yesterday, 25 people signed up. People are joining like anything from all over the world. We have 26,000 people on it right now, and it's growing every day. So we're trying to make a revolution in the, what do they call that? Cyberspace, yeah. Make a revolution in cyberspace to the whole world. Somehow, let's get them up on the street with Harinam and books and from the internet. Wherever we can get them, let's go wherever we can and get everybody, and let's make a spiritual revolution on this planet. Prabhupada said we can make the whole world Krishna conscious if we're constantly in this mood of preaching. We can make the whole world Krishna conscious. So let's work together as a family. It doesn't matter who your guru is. We're all just followers of Prabhupada. Let's work together as a spiritual family and make this whole world Krishna conscious as soon as possible. Ki jai. So we thank you very much. Now, one point, yes. Let me turn, get my hearing aid crank up so I can hear what you're saying. Crank up my hearing aid. Okay, go ahead. Oh yeah, I've been in contact with the GBCs about this. Yeah, that whatever some senior devotee is presenting bogus philosophy. What do you do then? Well, I'm actually dealing with such. The GBCs asked me to directly instruct the person, actually to deal with the person, actually. So yeah, we do have sometimes that happens. Some senior devotees. It actually happened even when Prabhupada was here, so it's not new. One of the leading temples in the U.S. was the New York Temple. It was a big leading temple. And some lady came. She said she was the heiress of a fat Japanese woman. She came and said she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune. She was in the Toyota family, and she was going to inherit the whole Toyota fortune. So the sannyasi temple president thought, wow, this is a great opportunity to get so much money for ISKCON. So he said, I'll give up sannyasi and I'll marry her. He married this. She was a con artist. She wasn't anything. She was a con artist. But everyone thought she was the queen. And they used to fan, even hearing the Bhagavatam class, she'd be fanned with a chamara while she was sitting and hearing the Bhagavatam class. I saw it with my own eyes. She had a female attendant that flew with her to fan her during the Bhagavatam class. And she happened to like Chinese egg rolls, which are not bona fide. They have eggs in them. So she was having the devotees offer egg rolls to Radha Govinda, the New York temple. Eggs are being offered to Radha Govinda. And devotees didn't know what to do. They went in, she says, is the authority, what can we do? They were offering eggs to the deities under the authority, the temple president's wife, you see. So, but Papa was not happy with the devotees that they just blindly followed somebody who was giving bogus instructions. So if somebody is preaching in a way which is different from Prabhupada's teachings, don't accept it. I don't care who they are. If somebody is preaching differently than what Prabhupada says, don't accept it. We sometimes have these deviations in ISKCON. You should be well read enough to know what's bona fide and what isn't. That's why everyone should read all the books. So if somebody preaches bogus philosophy, you can know it. You see, you can report it to your GBC that so-and-so came and he was preaching bogus philosophy. So the GBC can, if the GBC's job is straighten him out, not yours. But you can report it to the GBC if somebody is preaching bogus philosophy. Even a big sannyasi or guru could happen. So you report it to the GBC and they'll straighten it out, hopefully. So that's the answer. Report it to the GBC. Okay, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.